GeekRadioDaily.com with another slice of the goodness that was StarFest 2011. Want to give a big shout-out to Jonja.net, all the hard-working folks there that helped get us access, sit down with the stars and talking to folks. Go check out the convention, StarFest itself, at Starland.com. And now, the man, the myth, the legend, a personal honor for me to sit down and talk to Mr. Jeffrey Combs.
Hi, Billy Flynn for GeekRadioDaily.com.
The wonderful
Billy Flynn at GeekRadioDaily.com here at StarFest 2011 with the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Jeffrey Combs. Sir, thank you so much.
Wonderful.
The wonderful man, the myth, the legend.
And wonderful to be here.
Now, sir, obviously you're big in the geek community. Huge. But
in the what community?
The geek community.
Okay.
Absolutely. Geek, horror, whatever you want to call it. People who love fine acting.
I am a
geek. You certainly are. I first saw you in The Man with Two Brains.
What?
The Man with Two Brains with Steve Martin.
Yes, I remember.
Do people remember how great your surgical skill and hands were?
No. Do people remember? My surgical skills were useless in that movie. I worked one day with Steve Martin, and it was great. And Carl Reiner, I have to say. Maybe a lot of people don't know who. Maybe geeks know who Carl Reiner
Absolutely.
Is, but he was, right up there with working with Mel Brooks, and he was a writer and an actor on the Dick Van Dyke Show. So for me, it was like, I'm working with Carl Reiner and Steve Martin?
In a shaving scene. That's
in
awesome.
A shaving scene. In a pubic.
I've made it.
Shaving scene, yes.
My mom, oddly enough, had a job where she worked for this guy who owned a bunch of companies, one of them being a home video place, and she would always occasionally have to drop stuff off, so she'd bring home a box of tapes, which is how I found Reanimator. She came home, my mom loved horror movies, she's like, oh, we have to watch this. Like, okay, Mom.
How old were you?
13.
I'm interviewing you now, and you were ruined after that.
Absolutely, because once you see that, your world changes. Did you have any idea how impactful that movie was going to be?
Absolutely no idea. I was doing a play, casting director saw me, said, I'm casting this, you might be right for it. Went in and auditioned, bullshitted my way through about, this is based on Lovecraft. And yes. Had no idea, actually, who Lovecraft was. Vaguely, maybe. And then I thought, actually, it was a cool role. I thought the movie was very bloody, but for me it was, I'll be in front of a camera and I will, I'll be able to, get some experience. I never thought that it would become the iconic, explosive, the movie that won't die, just like the corpses in the movie.
Well, when you get, zombies and Frankenstein sort of mixed together, I mean, how can you go wrong?
Well, it's just a great, a lot of happy accidents there. I mean, Stuart Gordon's direction and the script, the editing, the music, great, good cast. I sort of thought, well, that's, that happens easily enough. And, over the years you realize how rare it is that everything comes together. Making films is a collaborative effort, and a chain is only as strong as its weakest link, and really, very, very, very infrequently does it happen that everything meshes like that. So,
well, it did kind of get you in the strange, odd guy roles for a while.
Did sort of send me down that path.
But, if you're going to get typecast, at least you're a typecasting working actor, which is always good.
That's the point, yeah.
So in The Frighteners, the way I always saw your character, it's like you were doing the exaggerated spoof of the type of characters that you had been labeled as for so long. Were you doing that, or has it just come across that way because you're the awesome?
No. An actor doesn't approach it like that at all. Doesn't approach a role that way, like, oh, I know what I'll do. I'm just dealing with, who is this guy? What is his motivation? What does he want? And what are his issues? Dammer has quite a few issues. And, Peter Jackson is a genius. And very collaborative. And we just went into geek mode. And
there you go.
Thought, what floats our boat? What makes us laugh? And we did a lot of that, shooting that. And great, good fun. Went for it. Just went for it.
Now, you actually auditioned for the role of Commander Riker for Next Generation. So I have to ask you this one question. Are you a better poker player than Jonathan Frakes?
No.
No, he
didn't
win?
I didn't know he played poker.
According to Marina Sirtis, yes. He was the actual... apparently, they would actually play some poker in between sets sometimes.
He's
when they
did probably those. Good. When I went in and auditioned for that, I knew there was a snowball's chance in hell that I would get it. Actually, that's not the role. I mean, you know, an actor knows sometimes, or a lot of the time, that when they go in for something that they're not right for it, you know. They were seeing about everybody in that. I just read something the other day that Jonathan had to go in 5 or 6 times, you know.
Wow.
To secure that role. One time for me. and I knew, because I am not that character. Maybe there were other characters on that. I sort of felt like there are other characters on this that maybe I'd be right for, but this is not the one.
Well, come they
on.
Must have thought the same thing, because, you know, you came back again and again and again and again.
Yeah, but that was years later. I could not get arrested on Next Generation. And then I kept saying to my agent, how come I'm not going out on that? I could do that. All my friends are doing that. And it wasn't until, you know, down the road and other people were running the shows and were fans of mine that I actually got in the door there.
Is there a Star Trek species that you would like to play that you haven't got to yet?
Human.
That would be one of the toughest ones, wouldn't it?
No.
What was your favorite Star Trek memory?
Well, the happiest, funniest, like playing a Ferengi with a lot of Ferengis is great good fun.
I can imagine.
Because all you have to do is look at each other and go, really? So it was very, very hard shooting those scenes because we all look completely ridiculous.
Absolutely.
So, a lot of fun. A lot of fun on that set. I have a treasure chest of good memories. So
you've also been, you know, voices in like Transformers, Justice League, tons of cartoons. What do you see as the biggest difference between acting, quote-unquote, and voice acting?
Well, I would say voice acting is akin to what radio probably used to be like. Sort of the same format, only, you know, in radio, a lot of the time it was live, and certainly not that. But, you know, you stand in a semicircle and you go through the script one at a time. You don't have to get into makeup or costume or anything like that. You just kind of have to know the material, you're reading it, and it kind of frees you up, actually. You just kind of try it many different ways until they're happy, you're happy. It's great, good fun. Transformers Prime is just great, great experience. It's a great crew of people behind the glass and in the recording studios. It's great. They're just fabulous. We get along so well, and I think the scripts and the visual technology of the piece is just fabulous. That's so good. I'm very proud to be a part of it.
So you got some new stuff coming up. Are you excited for the 3D Night of the Living Dead?
I'm curious to see how that turns out.
We're all kind of going, huh?
What? It's the first time I ever shot with 3D, which was a real eye-opener. You know, I had no idea how they did it until I'm on, you know, it's got a camera this way, right, shooting normally, and then you have a piece of glass at a 45-degree angle and another camera shooting that way into the glass, and then they flip it in post so that you've got this sort of this dual imagery, you know. It takes twice as long. They're always calibrating, and, you know, so I'm sure that the end product will be more effective, but actually from an acting point of view, it was quite frustrating. It was like, come on! A lot of waiting around, a lot of momentum lost, I find. You know? We're ready! You
know, hold on!
Yeah. No, God.
When are we going to see your Edgar Allan Poe one-man show go back on tour again?
Well,
fingers crossed.
Well, I'm going to... You know, the hard part about it is I've got to get... It's a little niche. You got to have a booking agent in order for that to happen.
Okay.
You know, it's not like I decide. You know, I get emails all the time. People say, why don't you bring it to Minneapolis? Hey, why don't you bring it to Dallas? Well, you know, the fact of the matter is it's not me waking up one morning and deciding to get on a plane and go to Dallas. You kind of like have to be asked to dance. And in order to do that, you have to have a booking agent who just really sort of concentrates on finding that stuff. And it's a real hybrid, very, very focused kind of thing. And they're all back east, and I'm based in L.A., so it's... you know, I sort of pointed out to them, hey, you know, great good success with this. And they, you know, somewhat myopic in New York. If it ain't New York, you know, it's not valid, which really can be frustrating. But I'll keep fighting the good fight. I am doing in Vegas, actually.
Okay.
At the Star Trek convention.
Awesome.
This week, this month, not this month, in this summer. In August, so, you know, there's a little bit of a tour. But I've taken it to Montreal, I took it to Austin, Texas, and I went to Baltimore with it.
And I missed that one.
Celebrating his bicentennial. So,
well, if anyone can make it work, I'm sure you can. You've proven that time and time again, because you're still here with us and you're still making us laugh. And thank you for all the work, and thanks for sitting down here with me today, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Wonderful.
Thank you again so much to Mr. Jeffrey Combs for sitting down and talking to us. You know, the good folks over at Jonju.net, ScreenGeeks.com, and TwistedGeeks.com all have interviews with Mr. Combs as well. And one of us actually gets to talk to Wei Yun. So you should go find the rest of those. Again, thank you so much, Jonju.net, for all the hard work that you do. Stop by Starland.com and get information for Starfest 2011. Make sure you drop by and visit Mr. Jeffrey Combs at JeffreyCombs.com. And thank you for listening to GeekRadioDaily.com.